Mothers don't respect the bad kids. Mothers don't have a good subject matter. So tomorrow, I throw stones and shoes at Michael Modest. Then I shake hands and I say, oh, sorry. But I shake hands and give knuckle breaker. He cry. I burn his eyes with Marlboro discount 2-pack. Save 70 cents on 2-pack cigarettes. Burn his eyes. Then I tie him up with red wine licorice. Special 99 cents per pack. Under the slushy machine, then I can give him brain freeze with the cherry cola or the bodacious berry flavor. Both delicious for 99 cents special. I charge his ass for cigarettes, licorice and slushy special 99 cents. Total amount due $9.72. But I kick his ass for free.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Mike Modest. Welcome to Modest Joint. Come on in. Let me grab the steel folding chair for you here. Watch. Hey, don't. No, you got. Mind the beer bottles. Hold on. Damn it. There's a seat. Go ahead and take it, man. It's good to have you here. I am your host, Michael Modest, and you have joined me at Modest Joint. For comments, questions, or death threats, you can email me at michael.modest@gmail.com or hit me up at myspace.com/michaelmodest. I've had a really interesting week, and in particular day. Things have been kind of crazy, man. Life has a way sometimes of just throwing all kinds of monkey wrenches in the works, bro, and you just have to look at it as an opportunity to overcome an obstacle and become a stronger man for it. And that's kind of the mind frame that I've tried to keep myself into lately. Anyways, man, I've got up on January 30th. Let me tell you about some of the things that are going on, some of the things I've got happening. I'll be up at the West Coast Wrestling Connection, that's WCWC, in Oregon at Springfield Regional Sports Center on January 31st. On January 30th, however, there will be a seminar. Now, this is a really good chance for indie guys in California that maybe want to get a booking up there, come up there and work and get a chance to, be a part of the seminar and have Mr. Manning take a look at you and maybe possibly get some bookings with WCWC. At any rate, the worst thing that happens is you get some training with Michael Modest, and, that's not too bad a deal. I don't exactly remember what the cost on the thing is. I think it's like $30 for the seminar. But everybody's welcome, guys from around the area that don't even work for WCWC are coming in, guys from Washington and other parts of Oregon. So I'm really excited about this. If you're interested in registering, you can do so by email at info@wc-wc.com. You can also call the WCWC office at 503-851-9980. I've trained a lot of guys, man. I've worked with a lot of dudes in this business, and I consider myself a hell of a trainer, and that's one thing I won't be modest about. Now I want to talk a little bit about some of my experiences up there in WCWC, man. I've been having a great time up there, having some great crowds. Oregon's got a great wrestling crowd. Just the fans are wonderful. And, we go to this great pizza place after the shows and stuff, and the promoter, treats me really well, Jeff Manning. He puts me up in a nice hotel and just takes good care of me, man. And it's been just a really, just a pleasure working for that company. And so I'm really excited about what I've got coming up. Now, I had a wrestler, and I'm not mentioning his name to knock him because I actually think the world of him, man, a guy named Chupacabra. And he's a hell of a wrestler. He's definitely a cruiserweight, but he's got a great build, a fantastic look. He wears these contact lenses, sharp teeth and stuff, and he's very, very aerial in his maneuvers and his arsenal. It's just incredible. He's a hell of a talent there. Now, I'm done kissing Chupi's ass. But what I will say is he was asking me a little bit about my experience up there in Oregon. And I said, well, everything's been really good, And they kind of were surprised a little bit. I guess they, you know, he and a couple of the other guys had had a, you know, they were working with WCWC, and then things didn't go well, or there was a disagreement or anything. You know, I don't know what exactly happened or transpired. But my point is, man, is, you know, I'm looking at a guy like Chupacabra, who's a hell of a talent. He could definitely lend his talents to this company and further getting his name outside of California. I mean, you know, indie bookings outside of the state, when someone's treating you, you know, even halfway decent, is maybe worth continuing, especially if you have some gimmicks to sell and things like that where you can maybe up your pay a little bit. You know, it's just, I guess what I'm trying to say, Chupi, and to a lot of the indie guys out there, man, don't burn your bridges, man. You know, if you can't work for somebody for a given time, just tell them in a very polite way, in the best way possible, hey, you know, this isn't working out for me. I really appreciate everything, and I'm hoping that maybe we can make it work again in the future. But, you know, you just got to be careful about having any kind of heat with any promoters that are running regular shows and good quality shows like WCWC is doing right now. Hell, you know, you look at me, man, and you know, I think a lot of the indie guys, for some reason, they have some ego. And there's a couple of guys that I've talked about that maybe I don't know that well or something because maybe they're shy. I don't know. But, you know, I'm putting it out there right now, man. If you haven't talked to me at an indie show because you think I got an ego or you're nervous that Mike Modest is an asshole, I am an asshole. But that's all good, man, because I'm right out there in the open, and I'll tell you I'm an asshole, but I am approachable, and I do not have an ego. Hell, I've worked in the Budokan and Tokyo Domes and, you know, a lot of buildings here in the States and stuff, but I am an approachable motherfucker, and yet some of these indie guys, man, I almost get the feeling like I'm walking into a locker room and it's Undertaker, and I'm like, wait a minute, but he's only 5'6", and he weighs about 150 pounds. How the hell could he be the Undertaker? But God, he sure is acting like, you know, he's that big of a legend. And I'm not saying The Undertaker's got an ego, because actually I think it's just the opposite. I've met the man a couple of times and you know, as a jobber in the WWE locker room. And you know, he seems like a really cool dude to me. But you know, the thing is, man, is unless you've achieved some real recognition in this business, man, you got to really try to play that political game. It's a bitch, I know it. But you gotta stay in good with people and treat people the way you want to be treated. You know, get off the high horse, man. Come to this seminar. All are welcome. And I'm telling you, I'm going to be spreading that kind of fucking mentality and those kind of thoughts, not only in the ring, you know, showing people the proper way to apply a headlock or do a headlock takedown, but I'll be working with punches and chairs and all kinds of different things up at this seminar. So I'm really excited about it. Again, that number, 503-851-9980. And that's all I got to say on that matter. I'm going to kind of speed through some things, man. I've kind of got off the subject, but I can't start over, man. There's no way I can start this program over. So let me just tell you about some things that got me excited, man. I'm in talks with Big League Wrestling out of Petaluma, California. Now, this is a promotion, from what I understand, and maybe I'm completely incorrect, okay, but this is just the best recollection I've got of the company. I think they started kind of like as a backyard thing, and then they got legit, and they changed their name to Big League Wrestling, and now they're doing some great things. They have some phenomenal talent, and I'm really excited to be in touch with these guys, and I'm excited about the possibility of working with Big League Wrestling. I also spoke to a guy named Fenries, the Child of Satan. Now, yeah, that sounds pretty crazy, man, but the dude's a cool cat. And he's from a company that's starting up in Italy. And the company's called UWP Pro Wrestling in Italy. And so I'm really excited to be in touch with him. I'm hoping to be going to Italy sometime within the next 4 or 5 months. I'm also speaking with Brian Dixon in England. I believe it's called Big Time Wrestling, and I think that's in England. And I'm really excited to be talking to Brian Dixon. I've been meeting today with a T-shirt designer and manufacturing company. Stoked about that, and met with them for about an hour and a half, 2 hours today, and things were looking really good. So I'm stoked about some different things, man. I will be in Florida March 7th, man, for Pro Wrestling Fusion. go check it out, ProWrestlingFusion.com. Contracts are signed, notarized, sealed, and delivered, man. I will be in Florida March 7th. Mark my words, Kevin Sullivan, I'm coming, baby. Get the beer out or whatever you got going on there, brother, the barbecue. Let's go catch some sharks and go marlin fishing, man. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to Florida. So we've come to the worst part of the program. It's the part where you have to hear me sing. And, you know, I apologize, but it's a commercial, so enjoy the commercial break. Love is a burning thing, but it can leave a fiery ring. Pee and your dick's on fire. Uh-oh, the doctor admired. He said, you went into a burning ring of fire. You went down, up, down, bareback with a girl for hire. Now your dick burns, 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 and you pee fire, and you pee fire. Don't let it burn, burn, burn. Direct stops fires. Direct stops fires. I know, it was pretty brutal, and I apologize. But there you go. That's what I got for you this week, and it only gets better. I wanted to talk about an angle that WWE just recently did, man. Randy Orton and Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon. The whole thing was really good, and as good as Chris Jericho did, I thought he was the weak link in the whole angle. And this was last Monday. I haven't watched the episode for this Monday, which now it's like Tuesday. I'm a day late on my damn segment already. It's going to cost me in the ratings, man, and that totally sucks. But anyways, I watched this angle, and it was awesome. It was so believable. Orton kicked Vince in the head. And, man, he was down and out, bro. And Stephanie McMahon gets in the ring, and she's just pouring out those crocodile tears that she has. Meanwhile, she's probably thinking, well, you know, I might have a little in the will or something. You know, but it was just a great, great angle. And Stephanie McMahon, I'm so blown away with her acting. I think she's Hollywood-bound, man. You know, if I didn't know any better, I just think it was an angle gone bad, and the whole damn thing was legit. And that's what I've always loved about professional wrestling. When you can work one of the boys, when the boys have to wonder, I wonder what's behind this angle. You know, what was said in the locker room that maybe Vince thought this would be a good angle, this would bring some real heat, maybe some legit storyline. And I just thought it was brilliant. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they followed that up. Brilliant, man. Vince was tremendous on that angle, and if you haven't seen it, you got to check out YouTube and check out that angle. It's totally awesome. The week before, there was a pretty decent angle with Orton, DiBiase, Rhodes, and Solo Snuka, and Office Kid, and that angle went really well. But then they followed it up immediately on the Raw program with another five-way angle, but it was with chicks. But it was almost identical, another three-on-two situation where they left two laying. And I thought, oh, man, unless they're going to do some kind of mixed tag 10-man or something for a Survivor Series, I just don't see any reason to put those two angles that are almost identical back-to-back on television. You know, I just think that's nutty. And then they followed that up with Hornswoggle. So it was three kind of like campy-ass, you know, things, and the first one was good, but then led up by the second two things, it just kind of all of a sudden took all the fire out of that first angle. And I also thought that they should not have left Solo and Office Kid laying down like that, you know, without maybe a chair or a table or a coconut. You know, smack those two Samoans upside the head with the coconut, just like the great Roddy Piper did back in the day. Now, that's something that you can leave a wrestler laying to, you know. But I watch that angle all the time, and I just love it, the fire in Snuka's eyes. And I know Solo Snuka has that same fire. I did train with him, although he was pretty much fully trained by the time I got my hands on him in urban wrestling. But I did work with him for a period there. And, man, what a phenomenal athlete. What a great talent. And I'm so stoked to see that he's getting a really good opportunity right now with the company, with the Fed. So that's awesome. Let me see. What else do I got for you here? One more thought on that. You know, watching that angle with Vince and Stephanie and Orton, I almost got the feeling that the WWE writing staff had changed overnight. It was really a trip because it was so different from some of the other things I had been seeing. And that was just another thought on that. Also, here's something else I got for you. Bay Area wrestling fans have been waiting for a long time for the return of Michael Modest to All Pro Wrestling, to APW. It's where I got my start, man. Actually, let me go back a little further, Jerry Monty, and then with Roland Alexander and Rick Thompson, which is really where I was able to perfect my craft through a lot of guidance and good leadership and good teaching and instructing. So Roland Alexander did give me a call. He's looking to possibly put me back on the payroll as a trainer at All Pro Wrestling. So if you think that's a good idea and you're an old APW fan and you'd like to voice your opinion, why don't you give them a shout, man, and see what they think. I'm looking forward to either way having dinner with Roland, whether we end up working together or not. I am looking forward to just meeting with the guy again and seeing him just for old time's sake, so it's going to be fun. Pro Wrestling Revolution, man. Chick Fight. Click Wrestle. These are all things you got to go check out. If you just go and Google them, man, you'll see what I'm talking about. Pro Wrestling Revolution out of San Jose, man, and King City, they have been doing some just phenomenal shows, and I know I always plug them every week, but and Chick Fight as well. But the reason I'm bringing them up again this week is I want to talk about the fact that APW has not only produced in this business pro wrestling talent, but APW has also produced some promoters like Gabe Ramirez, who is successfully running Pro Wrestling Revolution very, very well, single-handedly with the help of his daughter and his wife. You know, and it's just amazing to me how, you know, Gabe has really perfected that promoting end of it. And Jason Dedrich with the computers and Chick Fight and Click Wrestle, how he's really perfected that tech end of it. And now you got Michael Modest, the ultimate trainer, man. And I sit there and I wonder to myself, what would ever happen to the Bay Area if Pro Wrestling Revolution, APW, Chick Fight, Click Wrestle, and Michael Modest all got together and band together in the Bay Area, man? You know, what kind of power and what kind of presence would we really have if we actually developed a governing board like our own NWA, but just on a local level? Man, I think it would be awesome. And if we all pulled those resources, it'd be amazing the things we could accomplish right now. I want to talk about beer brawl. I said beer balls, didn't I? Beer brawl. This is a weird deal, man. I got this invite to attend this thing called beer brawl. Now, luckily, they didn't ask me to wrestle because, you know, they don't want Mike Modest drunk in the ring, you know, on, you know, a bad night. It'd be nasty. I'd probably break every bone in my body and they'd have a hell of a ambulance bill. But the thing about this, guys, is I think it's an inherently bad idea. What the deal is they drink a lot of beer and then they get in the ring and wrestle. And I got to tell you, from past experiences wrestling with guys that were drunk in the ring, they're never as good as they think they are. Some of them get like kind of, they start to fantasize about the good old days when a guy like Ray Stevens would have a beer or two because he needed to juice that night, and he'd maybe catch a little buzz and still get in the ring and have a 45-minute, you know, barn burner. But, you know, those days are kind of dead, guys. And my thing is, you know, be a professional, because there's some guys there that I'm surprised want to wrestle drunk in the ring, and maybe I'm just missing the whole point. Maybe that's not the deal. Maybe I misunderstand it. But it's like only you can keep yourself safe in the ring, and only you can make it possible for you to make a living in this business, and that's by keeping a healthy body and only taking risks when you're getting paid for them. Okay, you know, perfect example is Vito Tomaselli, a guy I retrained him and Sal Tomaselli, the Iron Saints, and now they're wrestling back in Minnesota or someplace. But you know, me and Sal were in the ring, and I was instructing something, and Sal kind of shot with me. You know, I don't know what his thinking was. And, you know, so I shot back and stretched him a little bit, and, you know, he ended up tapping out. And, you know, I pumped him a little bit, and I was a little pissed off, man. And later he apologized. He said, man, I was just fucking around. And I said, well, guess what, man? Unless you're paying me $500, you don't have the right to fuck around. What if you hurt me? Which he did tweak my fucking knee. When he started to shoot, I wasn't expecting it, and it fucking tweaked my knee. And so, you know, things like that, it's like, don't play, you know. Get paid, man. Get paid. That's the best way to go about it. Just because it's fun doesn't mean that you should do it just for shits and giggles. And I know a lot of you get used to doing it for shits and giggles on the indie scene or whatever. Maybe, you know, the pay is not there and things like that. But still, you got to leave yourself available for those good bookings and when you are getting paid. Let's see. But good luck, guys. But like I said, it is an inherently bad idea. Now I want to talk about the top 10 guys that I've trained, man. And this list kind of got out of hand because, you know, there's so many guys that I could throw into this list, guys that maybe you've never heard of and maybe some of them you have, but guys like Vic Grimes, Crash Holly, Spike Dudley, Fido and Sal Tomaselli, Brent Albright, the Great Khali, Bison Smith, Light Beer, Ray Kajimura, Frank Murdoch, Tony Jones, Mike Phillips. Now, you know, each of these guys, I'm not going to sit here and say that I take credit for their training from A to Z. I mean, that's just not the way it is in professional wrestling. The way it should be is you're training from, you're learning a little something from every vet you run into on the road. But I did have something to do with each of these guys' you know, careers, and that's kind of a cool thing. But number one, the guy that I have to mention, man, is Donovan Morgan. You know, the first time I met Donovan Morgan, he shows up at this show in Moraga, and he's wearing this blue suit. Kind of looked like Don Johnson, you know, a 16-year-old Don Johnson. He comes to APW, starts working for APW, then training for APW, ends up working himself into a job with APW, making $2,000, $2,500 a month. And that's not wrestling money. That was just from his job end at APW. That was based on the kind of money he generated, which was 25%. So you figure on a month when Donovan was making $2,500 at APW, he had brought in $10,000. Now, can you imagine when you have an employee working for you that's bringing in $10,000? Like that, and you're giving him 25% of just what he earns. You don't owe him an hourly wage or anything like that. But Donovan is a real opportunist, man. He's the kind of guy that can grab onto something and make it work for him. And I guess one of the reasons I'm talking about this is because I want to explain to a lot of the indie guys, make your opportunities. You know, if you don't have something already, you're not doing real good on the wrestling end or the announcing end or whatever, find other ways to be involved with companies. Donovan and I, we had a good offer from XPW when they first started to come and start working for them. But we chose to stay with APW, and we just worked with XPW, you know, for a time, and it was a really good experience. And but I did a lot of things with this guy. We worked for Jonathan Holliday together. It was a 24-show, almost straight deal. It was like 5-6 nights a week, and it was really our first experience, you know, working that kind of schedule, and it was really fun, although most of the crowds were like 20 and 30 people. I also remember a time when Justin Hawk Bradshaw was beating the shit out of Donovan in the ring. And, you know, Donovan's taking all these great bumps, and Bradshaw's just tossing them around left and right. And a couple of the boys, and I don't remember who it was, it might have been one of the headbangers or something, I don't recall exactly, but somebody was kind of making fun of Donovan, like, oh, look at, you know, Bradshaw's really kicking the fuck out of that kid, and, you know, kind of laughing about it. And I wasn't in a position to say anything, you know, so I'm just kind of standing back, and Stone Cold Steve Austin stands up and he says, hey, why don't you shut the fuck up? You might learn something. And I just felt like giving that guy a pat on the back and saying, thank you very much, bro. You know, Stone Cold ended up putting Donovan over and talked about, you know, he ain't killing him. The kid's bumping beautiful. You know, the kid's a great bumper. And that was the thing they didn't understand about Donovan Morgan. This guy was a hell of a talent. And he made Justin Hawk Bradshaw look so damn believable and so incredible in the ring that, you know, some of the boys just thought it was a complete shoot. Not that Bradshaw isn't, you know, a stiffy anyways. But then we ended up in urban wrestling together, and then eventually Noah together. And it's just really cool, a lot of these guys that I've trained, it's really awesome when you get a chance to work with them on the road and work with them on these shows. It's really cool. Let me see. What do we got next here, folks? I got another commercial, but I don't feel like doing it. I'm going to go straight to the top 10. What, you want me to? Damn it. All right, if you're going to beg me to sing again. But I got to warn you, my voice is not going to be as good. If you haven't noticed, I've been speaking like a million miles an hour trying to race through this damn show. But if you beg, all right, you're begging. I will do the damn second commercial. Here we go. If you really want to know, she comes here a lot. Man, I tell you, that girl's a real tramp. Man, this chick, she ain't clean. She got shit they ain't named. She caught it back in Bangladesh. For your wife, hell for me. Here's a couple quarters, now go take a pee. Buy yourself a Durex, you'll be alright. If he doesn't wear his cape, little Elvis might die. You'll blame little Elvis's demise on every girl inside. Durex will keep the little king alive. Durex. Watch out for her dirty cunt. So there you go, folks. One more time, singing a little karaoke right here tonight on Modest Joint. And I know it's pretty brutal. You know, I didn't do my do, re, mi, so, fa, la, ti, do voice exercise warm-ups, so you'll have to forgive me. All right, folks, I got one more thing here to talk about. This is my top 10 pet peeves. These are just little things that irritate the fuck out of me to no end. Everyday automated responses to real people that we make to each other. That pisses me off. Like every time you buy something at a store, you know, someone says thank you or, you know, have a good one. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. Good. You know, why not say something completely different that someone's going to remember you by? For instance, when people say, hey, Mike, you know, hey, you know, how are you doing, man? I usually say, oh, Tits McGee. Because Tits McGee is something that is going to make someone pause. And they're going to go, what the fuck does that mean anyways? And it could go either way, man. You know, Tits McGee might be a good thing, might be a bad thing. But, see, I just think outside of the box like that. So try it, man. The next time someone says, hey, how you doing? Just say, oh, Tits McGee. And see what that generates. You'll have a good time with it. You know, the other thing that pisses me off is computers that say thank you or, have a nice day. Thanks for shopping here. We really appreciate your business. And it's a damn computer. These stores have gotten real clever, man, okay? I haven't seen food prices drop, all right? But I've been seeing these new computers being put into the stores where they can get rid of employees, man, and get rid of that personalized human touch. And now, basically, I am paying the store to learn how to be a store employee. I'm learning how to read barcodes, and I'm learning how to, you know, run things through the little deal. I know the whole program, how to run the cards and everything. It's pretty fantastic. But it pisses me off because it's like, you know, they're training us to do something now and taking someone's job away, and it kind of pisses me off. And then it really adds insult to injury when the computer says, thank you. We really appreciate your business. And I think the fuck you do, you heartless piece of metal. All right. So that's number 10 of my pet peeves. Number 9, homeless people clogging driveways or street corners, man. It's fucking predatory, and I don't fucking dig it. At least walk and beg. You know what I'm saying? I have no problem with begging, man. If that's the only gig you got, fucking wear it proudly. You know what I'm saying? And the only ones that should be exempt from walking are the dudes or dudettes with no legs. It's perfectly acceptable for them to just sit, you know, somewhere and just beg right there, you know. I mean, that's their gimmick, you know. Don't be a gimmick biter. If you got legs, move and beg for money. Man, I got hit up by this dude selling Ensure out of his damn car the other day, giving me some story. He ran out of gas. You know, all he's got is these two things of Ensure. You know, they're like $3-4 at the store. You know, if I could just give him a couple of bucks for a thing of Ensure. As if I had an old person living at home that did need some Ensure, or at least if, you know, if I liked Ensure and I wanted to purchase this, like I would purchase it from this dude sitting in his freaking car trying to sell this crap. And I said, no, man, I don't want no damn Ensure, and don't hustle me, bro. I said, I'm here trying to make a little money myself. And you know what? The guy was actually pretty cool after that. He did end up getting a couple of people to give him a couple of bucks for the Ensure, but they didn't even take it. They said, no, that's okay. Go ahead and keep it. And after he did that, like, to 3 or 4 people, he took off. And so everything was kind of shady. But, you know, whatever. And he made it fast. I mean, my girlfriend went in to use the bathroom and buy a few snacks. And I mean, this guy was, you know, he hustling. He made 3 sales within, I don't know, 10 minutes. It was incredible. But I don't like the homeless people that sit on the, you know, sit right at the driveways or the intersections and give you the puppy dog eyes, man. It's just not cool. It's very predatory, and I don't dig it. Number 8, I don't like the cattle mentality, man. You go into a store and there's an in and an outdoor. And it's like, why? You know, I like the doors that just open and let you go in either damn way, you know. But then you got problems at Walmart getting trampled. Moo. You know what I'm saying? It kind of sucks. So I don't like that cattle mentality directing us, like, which way to go and so on and so forth. You know what I did one time, man? Just for a month, just as my own little personal experiment, I decided to enter through the exit every time I went to a store. And I wanted to do it for a month, man, and just see what it did. And I'll tell you, you know, some people look at you like you're committing a freaking crime. But, you know, the deal is it's not illegal as long as you're not driving a vehicle or something like that. You can enter through the exit, and sometimes it just makes more sense, man. So that's another one of those things. But try it, man. It's liberating. Just go through the, you know, just do the opposite just for a month. It's fun. Number 7, personalized license plates that don't make any sense to anyone except the driver of the fucking vehicle. And see, that's another one of my pet peeves. It's like I spend a good, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 minutes pondering this damn license plate until I realize that it says something that has no meaning to me or to the thousands of other motorists on the road. It only means something to the one person that cannot see it. And that pisses me off and it drives me nuts. It's a pet peeve of mine. Number 6, this is a big pet peeve. The dude at Taco Bell who always forgets my spork, man. How the hell can I eat an enchilada with no spork? Can't do it. Number 5. These are some pet peeves, actually some pet, like, peeve characters, man. Gonzo from the Muppets. The fuck is he? A giant mosquito rat? I don't really know. Someone told me once that Gonzo means chicken fucker, like in Mexican slang or something like that. And I thought to myself, well, maybe that's why he's always chasing chickens. But Gonzo gets on my damn nerves. And then the Hamburglar. And you might as well add Grimace to that list of little creepy creatures that I used to have horrible nightmares about. The Hamburglar, man, he's very, very, very scary. He's a criminal. Not cool. Number 4, Mike Modest pet peeve, crayon paper. It gives me horrible chills. Paper bags as well. I can't carry them, man. It drives me nuts. Number 3, sharing ice cream or cereal. Did you know that the little film layer, after you take a spoonful of ice cream out of your mouth, you look at the bottom of the spoon, there's a little layer of milky kind of watery substance. Well, 25% of that, man, is spit. And no thanks. I don't want to put your spit into my mouth, so I'm not sharing my ice cream. And then the cereal at the bottom of the bowl, you know, you get bent down to that good milk, you know, and it's all sweet from the cereal. Well, that's 25% spit too, man, scientifically proven. You can take it from me, Michael Modest. Number two, this pisses me off. This is another pet peeve. Starbucks employees that correct me when I order a small, medium, or large. They start saying, well, don't you mean a venti? Or don't you mean a grande? And I'm like, no, man. I said a small. I would have said venti if I was in Italian, you know, if I was in Italy, man. And I'm an Italian kid. But, you know, I'm here in the States, so I just order it small, medium, large. And it's just the way I am, you know. Whatever. And then the number one big pet peeve of mine is cookie surprise in my milkshake. I went to Lion's Restaurant one time and ordered a shake. It came with a crunchy substance that tasted a little like cornflakes in my shake. And I started crunching it. And I said, oh, I don't like this. And called over the waitress, and she informed me that it was the cookie surprise in my shake. And I told her, well, I ordered the vanilla shake without cookie surprise. I was a little hot. She was insulting my intelligence. I looked on the menu. There was no shake with cookie surprise. The manager came over and apologized. He said that sometimes the night employees, the night shift, ate cereal out of the shake carafes, or I don't know what the hell you call them, the metal milkshake things. And so I got someone's old cereal in my shake. And that was my number one pet peeve of all time. And it has continued to really irritate me if I find any kind of cookie surprise in my shake. So, with all that yammering and bullshit, have you had enough Parkertal for 1 week? That's all, folks. This has been Michael Modest. You've been listening to Modest Joint. And I have the will to fight.